From Jefferson Public Radio, I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another JPR Live session from afar. We're going to do things a little different today. Most of the time, you know, we've got artists that are in talking about a brand new record or have a catalog of things they'd released. But today is a vocal group that I want to introduce you to. You might not have heard them before, and there is actually not even an album out yet. They're very new. But as it happens, one of the members of that group happens to be one of my favorite jazz singers on the planet, Sarah Gazarek, who joins me from her home in Los Angeles. Sarah, hello. Welcome back to JPR Live Sessions.
Hi, Eric. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you so much for having me and giving a platform for this new group that we're just so excited about.
Well, I caught one of the songs online, and it absolutely grabbed me and held my attention all the way to the end. It was a video that you guys recorded of Evergreen by Yebba. The group, by the way, is called Sage. Rhymes with beige. We'll dig into that a little bit. It is a four-woman vocal jazzy supergroup. How did I do?
You did great. That sounds awesome. We might quote you on that later.
So you're with me today from your home, but who else is in the group? And tell me about each of the members.
Yeah. So as you totally hit it out of the park, we're four female individual artists and composers and arrangers in our own right. And I'm one of the members. I'm Sarah Gazarek. I live in Los Angeles and have had a what feels like somewhat long career as a solo recording artist and educator. And then one of our other members is also in Los Angeles, a younger jazz vocalist named Erin Bentledge, but she's truly one of my favorite jazz vocalists on the planet. Incredible artist, songwriter, composer, arranger. She's really well known in the arranging community as well. And then when we go up north a little bit, we have two of our other members, both based in Seattle, the Seattle area. One is another incredible jazz vocalist, a graduate of the Monk Institute, now called the Herbie Hancock Institute. Jazz vocalist and recording artist, also composer, Jeanne Kendrick. And then our fourth member is a fairly young but truly genius vocal arranger and high soprano. She's very highly revered in the arranging circles. And, you know, for people who know her voice, it's one of the most beautiful soprano voices in the jazz genre. So we're so fortunate to kind of just have everybody. It's freaky how perfectly everything just kind of blends and works together, how like everyone's strength is another person's weakness and vice versa. It's a really beautiful, unified family of women.
Well, it sounds like everything worked out beautifully, except for maybe the timing of getting this project off the ground and in front of the public with the pandemic. How did the four of you first get to know each other? Was it at educator conferences and things?
You know, the jazz community is pretty small, especially people who are doing it at a fairly busy professional level. And so we all knew of each other and we're all friends, either, you know, some of us were friends with everybody in the group and some of us only knew one or two people. But we all were fans of each other's music. And I was performing at a festival that Amanda, our lead soprano and arranger, one of the arrangers, was hosting. Her previous group, Groove for Thought, which is a fairly prolific vocal jazz ensemble, hosts a festival every year, an invitational, and they have a headlining artist. And I was the headlining artist for that year and saw her perform and just fell in love. I knew Amanda and I knew of Amanda, but I didn't really know her musically as well as I kind of found out that week. And after their first performance, kind of ran up and bombarded her and was like, can we start a vocal group? I don't know what that would look like, but I just love you. And, you know, like if you had asked me 3 years ago if I would have ever wanted to be in a vocal group or asked someone to be in a vocal group with me, I wouldn't have foreseen that. But it was sort of like this fateful pull. And Amanda is good friends with Erin, the other singer in LA, and they do a lot of work together. And then Jeanne was my really good friend. And we all kind of agreed that we wanted to explore this, but didn't have any gigs and didn't have any songs and, you know, just went to Palm Springs. I had a fan who lent us her rental property for a week and we just kind of swam and wrote some songs together, one of which is one of the first songs that, you know, we ever recorded and released. And then a few weeks later, Jeanne, who was on the board of the Jazz Education Network Conference, said that the applications were coming soon and that we should apply to debut at Jen, which was so formative, you know, to have a potential, not only performance, but performance in front of thousands of people, and not just people, but jazz musicians and educators, that's really going to kind of light a fire under you to make sure that it's pretty happening and good. So our first performance was at the Gen Conference in January of this year, in front of about 1,200 people. And it was a 60-minute set. So our first set, making music together, was with a band we'd never performed with, and next to
what was the repertoire?
It was all brand new repertoire. We had to write all new repertoire. It was 60 minutes of music, but it was the first performance and the first time we were singing some of this stuff together live, and it was in front of 1,200 people.
Critical people.
Yep.
Well, with that much talent on stage, I'm not shocked that you killed. Sarah Gazarek is my guest today on JPR Live Sessions. She is one of the members of a new vocal supergroup with a debut record coming sometime in the next year. They are called Sage. Well, let's hear some music. What do you want to share with us first?
Well, I think since we talked about it, it would be great to play the first song that we ever wrote together. This is a song that we wrote at that retreat. And really, it was just a celebration of that weekend and realizing that everything that we really, truly needed was in these four women who had come together and fallen in love, essentially, musically and personally. And that, you know, it was a turning inwards toward womanhood and femininity and empowering each other as women. So we'd love to share Desert Song.
This is Sage on JPR Live Sessions.
You see the ocean, you're drawn to the strength inside the waves. But if you get caught within the ocean, the undertow will let you lose your the ocean. Can't wait to sink your toes into the sand. Instead, you will sink into the ocean and watch your heart fall slowly from your
she's calling.
She's calling, calling. She's calling, calling, calling.
It's fantastic. That is Desert Song. The group is called Sage, S-A-J-E, and one of the vocalists from the group, Sarah Gazarek, is my guest today on JPR Live Sessions. No record yet, but you can find more music and information at sagevoices.com to look online. That's fantastic.
Thank you.
Really, really pretty.
Thank
Amazing.
You very much.
It's shocking that you have had so little time in the same physical location to work on this stuff.
Yeah, we were pretty fortunate after the Gen conference. We, you know, it was crazy. We actually, like, word kind of got out because we were posting things on social media and different things. And it's a small, like I said, a small tight-knit community. And so word had gotten out about the group. And even shortly after the Gen conference was in January. And in February, we had 4 performances at different jazz festivals.
Mm.
And so we were able to, fortunately, continue to add repertoire remotely and, you know, do these little virtual demos and then get together and workshop these songs live and then have a couple little retreats and or 10-hour rehearsals before the performances or whatever to do our best to kind of get the sound together. But I think what was so special about that 3-month period before quarantine hit was that we got to kind of workshop and fine-tune our sound, but that we already sort of had this protocol in place for how to survive distantly.
Hmm.
You know, that like we, the idea of recording demos from our homes is not new to us. And the idea of sharing things remotely is not new to us. And so it's sort of like this blessing for all, each of us. We've all sort of acknowledged this, that because of, you know, like I said, the strengths that one person carries are different from another person. And so one of us is great at arranging. One of us is great at social media. One of us is great at bookkeeping. One of us is really great at the merch website stuff. Mm. And you know, we have these weekly meetings where we sort of work out, you know, what's coming and who we need to talk to and what grants we're applying for and, you know, what's on the horizon. And it's pretty exciting to have people to collaborate with when things feel so isolated.
I want to ask you specifically about some of the different strengths and different qualities that each of you have as singers. But you brought up, you know, working on this repertoire and then, of course, the pandemic shut everything down and everybody went into quarantine. Did you guys get to a point where you had enough material in hand for a record, or is that part of the kind of fuzzy date of when there might be a debut album?
You know, the debut album thing is so interesting because I think at the moment we're just really hungry to figure out what we want to do. You know, it's sort of like a baby just getting its feet under it before it learns to run. And so at the moment we just are trying to write a new arrangement and create a recording remotely, a demo recording every month. So that by the end of quarantine, we have, I mean, at the moment, I think we have 3 originals and 14 covers.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So we have quite a bit of material. We totally could record an album now if we wanted to and release it now if we wanted to. But I think we all really understand and celebrate the idea that this is something that's really special and that we want to take the time to make something that's very intentional and potentially release it with the label that feels correct and right for this project and with the producer that feels correct and right. And that's really hard to come to without exploring a little bit more, if that makes sense. Mm. Like, yeah, I know what my next record is going to look like, but that's because I'm, you know, I've got 16 years under my belt. Yeah.
You're going to share that with us now? Give us a little sneak preview of what your next album's going to look like?
No, it's just in my brain.
It was worth trying anyway, right?
Sorry, it was worth trying. But for this project, it really, I mean, this group has been in the works since 2018, but really has just started to explore sound and push our own boundaries of what we mm-hmm. want to do in the last couple months.
Do you think of this as a jazz group or no?
Oh, interesting question. Yes, in the same way that I think of myself as a jazz vocalist. People who have listened to my music know that, you know, I'm just a person who likes to choose songs that I identify with and breathe life into those arrangements to authentically create a space for those songs to come to life in a way that reflects my experiences and hopefully welcomes other people into those as well. And so on my last album, you know, had a Dolly Parton song, Sam Smith, Bjork, Stevie Wonder, a bunch of original compositions, but then also, you know, a Brad Mehldau tune and a couple lesser well-known jazz standards. And to kind of put that into perspective, that record was nominated for Best Jazz Vocal Album of the 2019 Grammys. So it was acknowledged widely as a jazz album. And I would say that I would guess that in the same way jazz vocal music, one would hope that an ensemble, a vocal ensemble, would be able to reflect that as well. You know, that we are covering, you know, Joni Mitchell and the Waylon Jennings and Bjork and, you know, different non-jazz artists, but the arrangements are incredibly complicated harmonically and rhythmically, and the vocalists all identify as jazz vocalists, and there are definitely layers of improvisation. And, you know, I think it depends on who you're asking. I would say yes. I would say unequivocally yes.
Well, let's hear some more music. Is this going to be an interpretation or an original from the group?
I think this one is going to be an interpretation. So this is a perfect example, and people can kind of ask themselves how they feel about it, whether or not it fits in the jazz context. But this is a song originally written by a neo-soul artist named Yella. And the song of hers called Evergreen, and it was arranged for our group by Aaron Bentledge and Amanda Taylor. And what you'll hear are little moments where people pop out as soloists, not like the last song that was all just kind of everyone singing at the same time. This is kind of like little moments where people sing backgrounds and then they come forward and sing their moments. But a lot of the solos, you're hearing people improvise melodically and harmonically as well. So this is Yeba's Evergreen.
This is Sage on JPR Live Sessions.
I hid my penny and I threw it in. I pray I'd keep my soul. Went down to the river where the water bends. The only place I'd know. Oh, I can't see the forest.
Will you wait for me?
just as hard in heaven. So will you wait for me, my evergreen? I know it's just as hard.
Wow, that is Evergreen, Yebba's Evergreen, as performed by the group Sage. Sarah Gazarek is with me, one of the four members of a relatively new vocal supergroup. SageVoices.com, S-A-J-E, voices.com is their web address to learn more and hear more. That's phenomenal.
Thank you.
Really, really cool. Great arrangement on that.
Thank you very much.
So the four members here, you have already mentioned that each of them brings something different to the table. When you are working for the first time with someone who, to a large degree, does what you do, right? Opens up their mouth and sings. What do you look for to try and meld and stay out of each other's way at the same time? And how much more complicated does that get when you get up to four voices?
Well, you know, I think fortunately there's a long history of vocal music that's rooted in choral tradition, and there are rules and, you know, things to be aware of and certain parameters of unification to be thinking about. And so, of course, we do talk about some of that stuff, like how are we tuning this and, you know, are we thinking bright and forward? Are we thinking dark and heavy? Practicing the rhythms to make sure that we unify our sound. And with Sage, because everyone is aware of and kind of trained in that, but also has lived in this space of artistry and solo artistry for so long, it's sort of like this living, breathing thing, you know, where we inherently know. I mean, some of it we do talk about, but for the most part, we do inherently know what the shaping can and should be, just because, you know, it's like when you go to a dinner party, why do you know how to talk about things? Like, you just know because you've spent enough time doing it. And the same thing goes for this, that, you know, I think that there's just an immersion in the genre, but I think that because we all are contemporary artists, that the beautiful thing about this group is that it truly sounds like contemporary vocal jazz music. And I don't think that you hear that very often in a large ensemble, a large vocal ensemble, that a lot of the ensembles these days sound more like. Vocal ensembles sound a little bit more like throwbacky, you know,
Or are more intentionally a cappella.
Exactly. Yeah. Especially for contemporary music, right? Like the pentatonics, so contemporary. Yeah. And there are, of course, groups that are doing more contemporary things. But when you think about the vocal jazz groups that are out there, the ones that are pretty famous, the sound is just that sort of like established vocal jazz sound that came out of the big band era. And I think that because we all are sort of younger and solo artists, the music that we're making sounds like what we hope sounds like one artist that just happens to be singing four pitches at the same time.
In addition to the four of you, at least on the videos that have been released thus far, there are another couple of talented ladies in the group.
Yeah. And, you know, like a lot of jazz artists, the group that we perform with, we have our top call people, and then you know, every once in a while, because tours come up, they aren't able to make it. And so we have other people that we love performing with, too. But the women on I think the women on these recordings are the same. Yeah. The only one is a guest guitarist who's a guy named Adam Levy in Los Angeles, who played on Desert Song. But the bassist on these recordings is a great Australian female bassist named Anna Butters, who's based in LA. And then the pianist is a great pianist out of Denver these days named Dawn Clement. She's incredible. Mm. And then the drummer is the guy that I've been working with forever. He played on my last record. He tours constantly with Jacob Collier and Kurt Elling. His name is Christian Newman. And that's the band that we hear.
I am so glad you had time to do this, so thrilled to be able to share the music of Sej with hopefully a new audience.
Thanks for doing this. My pleasure.
Sarah Gazarek is my guest, one of the members of a new group called Sej, spelled S-A-J-E. By the way, tell me about the name.
Yeah, so the name is just the first letter of each of our names. So Sarah, S, Amanda Taylor, A, Johnny Kendrick, J, and Aaron Bantledge, E.
But Amanda gets an umlaut.
Amanda gets an umlaut. She's very special.
SageVoices.com is the website. Will you share one more tune with us?
Yeah, we'd love to. Yeah, so the women of Sej, for people who know our music, we're fairly conscientious, and as individuals, want to create art that is intentional and speaks to the experience that we're all going through. And our music, because we are jazz vocalists, the genre rests on the shoulders of Black American artists. And so all of us stand firmly in our support for the Black Lives Matter movement. And John A. Kendrick is a beautiful African American woman with two beautiful African American babies. And she wrote this song for them, and Aaron Bentledge and I arranged it for Sej. So this is our love letter to Jeanne's love letter and our support of Jeanne's love letter to the Black Lives Matter movement. This is Never You Mind.
They pull you, don't even know how much you can bear, though they tell you that they rule you, never you mind,
never you mind.
You come from a legacy of warriors and see your warriors and know this fear.
Brown, Philando Castile, Terrence Crutcher, Alton Sterling, Walter Scott, Eric Harris, Sam DuBose, Tony Robinson, Rumaine Brisbane, Tamir Rice, Laquan McDonald, Stephen Clark, Eric Garner, Oscar Grant, Antoine Rose, Sandra Bland, Akeel Dinkins, Freddie Gray, Paul O'Neill, Akai Gurley, Greg Gunn, Jamar Clark, Botham Jean, Atatiana Jefferson, You Matter, You Matter, You Matter, You
That is the group called Sage. Never you mind the name of that tune. Hopefully that one's going to make the record when there is a record sometime, okay. Maybe in 2021 or so.
Maybe.
Sarah Gazarek is my guest today on JPR Live Sessions. Information on the group can be found at sagevoices.com. That's sajevoices.com. If you want to find music, bio, all sorts of background information on Sarah, her website, saragazarek.com. Sarah, thanks again for doing this.
Thank you so much.
Fantastic music. When there is a record or even individual tracks, I do hope you'll continue to send them our way.
We will. We totally will. Thank you very much.